Is Anthony there, Pete? Yes, thumbs up. Awesome. Anthony DiComo of MLB.com. He is a terrific source on everything Mets, and I enjoy reading him and listening to him when he's here on The Fan, and now he joins me. Hey, Anthony, how are you?
Hi, Kim. Doing well. How are you?
I'm great. What did you make last night of Noah's postgame?
Honestly, I thought it was a guy who is kind of out of answers, and that's not to say you can't turn this thing around, but I think he's tried a lot of different things, and obviously he's had a couple starts in the last four or five where he's had a ton of success, and I think he can't quite put his finger on why he can't do that every time out, or at least approximate that every time out, and he's frustrated. So, I think he kind of made that clear, and he said, I believe the quote was, pitching is frigging frustrating sometimes, and he compared it to his golf swing, where sometimes you go out and you feel like you can do no wrong, and then the next day you go out and you feel like you can do no right. So that's kind of where Noah Syndergaard seems to be, and I think if he knew how to fix it, it would be fixed already. So we'll see. We keep saying there's too much talent here for this to continue, and yet here we are almost in June and his ERA is nearly 5.
Is it troubling, Anthony, that while they have a bit of a different demeanor, obviously they're different people, and they give different answers, that he and DeGrom both at times, are searching?
Yeah, it's tough to compare the two because I think people lump them together because they're both so talented and they're both so good. But like you said, they are very different personalities. And I think when Jacob DeGrom struggles, he's a little more cerebral about it, and he, I don't know. They both take it hard. They're both talented, but we've seen DeGrom go through this stuff in the past and come out of it. He's done it multiple times throughout his career. So you almost worry a little less about him because he has this blueprint where he's been able to fix it. Noah, it seems to come and go, and there's no rhyme or reason. There's nothing you could really point your finger on to say, wow, he's going to be okay. He's going to be on the right track. All we can do is look at, the advanced metrics and everything that say time and again, he'll be fine. He's pitching well despite the overall numbers. And yet it hasn't been exactly what the Mets have wanted, certainly not what Noah Syndergaard has wanted. So it's almost like you have to sit back and hope and wait because we don't know when or if he's going to come out of it.
When I thought he gave an incredibly interesting and honest answer, Anthony, when he said that after the Mets took that lead and he's going out to the mound and Cabrera's up and he's thinking, don't give this up, and he did. I thought to me that indicated a neck-up issue rather than an arm or pitch selection issue.
Yeah, I think he went one further than that, Kim. I think he mentioned a couple of times the mental side of it and that is what he's struggling with. And look, there's a physical component to this too. Mickey Callaway talked about his mechanics and how they were out of whack, and Noah Syndergaard kind of painted this as a season-long mechanical issue. But he did multiple times point to the mental side of things. And I think, to go back to your previous question about the difference or similarities between him and DeGrom, I think that's where DeGrom has always excelled. He has been able to wrap his mind around what's going wrong. And even if it's a physical issue, if it's whatever, he's been able to self-correct a lot easier than Noah Syndergaard, who is clearly looking at this and almost throwing his hands in the air in a way and saying, I don't know. And that is definitely a mental issue.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there. I could spend our whole time on that issue. I'm not going to. I do wonder a little bit about the Wilson-Ramos play into all of this.
Yeah, you just mean about him
behind
the plate.
He's new to the team. He's new to this rotation. Yeah. You could make the argument they miss Mesoraco, who I don't think is coming back, but and who maybe doesn't have the offensive pop that Ramos should. But a new catcher, to me, can't be completely incidental in all of this.
Yeah, look, it's a factor, for sure. And I would never discount that it's a factor. And I would never discount that the Mets signed Wilson Ramos clearly for offense. He's been an average to below average defensive player throughout his career. What he does do well on defense is his throwing arm, not necessarily the things he does in terms of calling a game. But these are veteran pitchers, and veteran pitchers know what they need to do to succeed, and you or I could be back there behind the plate, Kim, and they should be able to throw with precision, throw strikes. So while it can affect a pitcher for sure, It's not the reason why you take a Cy Young winner and all of a sudden he's got an ERA in the high fours. It's not the reason why you take a guy with Noah Syndergaard's talent and have him struggling into late May into potentially June. This is beyond just the catcher, for sure.
What do you expect from Vargas today?
5 innings.
Okay.
I mean, that's fair. That's the best you can kind of hope for Jason Vargas. Even when he's going well, I think it's 5 and dive for him. I think that's clear at this point. And so from the Mets' perspective, you hope he can get through a lineup twice and not give up that many runs. Hasn't pitched really in 3 weeks. He had a rehab start, which he threw 70-something pitches. So it would be almost shocking to see him get into the 80s pitch count-wise. So what can he do with that, say, 75 pitches? If you get 4 or 5 innings of 1 or 2 runs from Jason Vargas, I think the Mets would be happy with that and then go to their bullpen and try their luck from there.
This is hard to do, but I think you have to. You know, last night notwithstanding, it's been a pretty good couple of days, 4 days for the New York Mets. Do you think, again, last night a quirky game, it didn't end up going their way. They fought back, though, like this team seems to do most times. Do you think the Mets feel like in sweeping the Nats, they have refound something?
Well, sure, and they should feel that way. From an outside perspective, I would caution the Nats are a train wreck right now, and you can only take so much out of that sweep. But look, the Mets took care of their own business. They did their job, and that's important, too. Last night was interesting in that, like you said, they continued to get production from these sources that weren't even on the team a couple weeks ago. And Danny Hechevarria, Alan Altair, homering in his first at-bat. It was a game that while they didn't necessarily need it coming off that 4-game sweep, it would have been really nice to have in the sense that I think there's at least some sense of, hey, this is a Mets team that's still really, really banged up.
Yep.
They don't have their regular players. With the exception of Michael Conforto, who we could see today or tomorrow, they're not going to have a lot of these guys back for a while. So at some point, you have to expect that they're not going to continue to put up 8-9 runs a game with the likes of Carlos Gomez and Rajai Davis and Danny Hechevarria. No disrespect to those guys. They are major league veterans. They are the Mets are in so much better shape with those guys than they have been in years past.
Yes.
When these injuries have come, and they've been plugging in the Eric Campbells and Danny Munoz of the world. So it's a good thing for the Mets that they have these guys to plug in, but you also just can't, expect them to play as well with those guys as they would with Michael Conforto and Jeff McNeil and Robinson Cano in the starting lineup. So they need to win as many games as they can still in this bad stretch of schedule, even with these replacements in there. They need to win as many as they can, and you don't want to see a game like last night slip away, even though they had won 4 in a row preceding it.
You know, I think as a writer or a broadcaster, it would be a lot of fun to cover these recent achievements. I mean, Davis and Gomez in particular, I forgot the level of energy Gomez brings to a team. But, Anthony, that's been a fun watch these past few days.
Oh, yeah.
And in baseball, which is such a brutally long season, and I understand that, and I do think about you writers a lot, when these seasons get long. Believe me, I do. But I have to believe it was these were welcome little success stories that were an awful lot of fun this week.
No doubt. And those two in particular, Rajai Davis and Carlos Gomez, are such cool stories. Mm-hmm. I mean, Davis, obviously a longtime veteran, famous for that home run in the 2016 World Series. And as anyone who saw his post-game interview after his home run can see, he is an absolute character.
Yes.
Got to know him a little bit during spring training this year, but the whole story with Jason, the Uber driver, driving up from Allentown, Pennsylvania. I mean, he's a legitimately funny human being. And I think his teammates appreciate him being in the clubhouse. And Carlos Gomez, obviously, having come full circle 2007 to now with the Mets, he is also an out there character, loud, likes to have fun. So when those guys do well, for sure, it's a good story. And it's a good story for the Mets. And I think we in the media, certainly myself, we've spent a lot of time this year criticizing some of the moves that Brody Van Wagenen has made because they have not worked out. But if you're going to do that, you also have to give them credit for the ones that have gone right. And Rajai Davis, Carlos Gomez, Danny Hechevarria, these are depth moves that may or may not have mattered when the Mets made them in January, February, March, but they're mattering in a big way right now. So kudos to Brody for those.
And if Irvin Santana could ever work out, you would be talking about quite a group he's brought in. if.
Yeah.
And Matt Kemp, even, you know, we'll see. But, I mean, if the pitcher can help them, that would be huge.
Yeah, and look, Matt Kemp is a lottery ticket.
Yes.
And he may or may not ever make it here to Flushing. If he does, we'll see. Irvin Santana, that's an interesting one to me because, you know, there's a good chance he's cooked. There's a good chance he has nothing left. But if he's not, I would almost guarantee the Mets will use him at some point this year. You know, they've been reasonably fortunate so far with their starting pitching health. You know, Jason Vargas went down for a little bit.
Right.
Steven Matz went down for a little bit. By and large, they've been healthy in the rotation. By and large, they've been healthy in the rotation for the last year and a half. And that's a good thing, and the Mets need it to continue. But it's also unrealistic to think they're going to get by with just those five or even six or seven starters the rest of the way. So if Irvin Santana has anything left, this is a guy who was an all-star who had a ton of success in the league. The Mets will certainly be happy to use him at some point this season.
And I think the fact that the rotation has not pitched to expectations is actually one of the Mets' best reasons for hope that those guys do find a way. And as a group almost, although not all of them are, they're not the same, I understand that, you know, turn it around and pitch some of their better, get to back to pitching how we expect from them, and then you're talking about a different Mets team. I want to get to three things, if I may, quickly. And I'll try to be quick on my end. The Cespedes news, did that have an impact or was he being viewed as just a complete bonus if they got anything from him?
Yeah, I think it was a bonus. I still do think there was some legitimate optimism within the organization that he could come back. But you're talking about a guy who, even if he had been able to do that, you have no idea what he would be able to produce.
Right.
He would have been 33 out of the game for more than a year. So, even while there was some hope that he could have made it back this year, I think it was just a total bonus in that they didn't know what to expect. And now, coming back at 34, potentially next year, not having played in almost 2 years, I think you have to expect as an organization that you're going to get nothing. And if you get something, great, total bonus.
Agreed. Is there optimism that Robinson Cano can find his form?
Yeah, and the reason why I say that is because when the Mets acquired him, they were looking at this guy, okay, he's 36 years old, but we're okay with that because we think the hit tool ages really well, better than some other tools, and Robinson Cano is one of the best hit tools of anyone in this generation. So there was optimism then. I think seven mediocre to bad weeks are not enough for the Mets to totally bail on that, but they do need production from him because having him under team control for the next 4 years, there was always a thought that the back end of that contract is not going to be pretty, but the Mets needed production from the front end. So if he can produce something in July, August, you know, July, August, September, I think the Mets would be very, very happy to have that, knowing that, you know, they have him for not just this year, but the foreseeable future.
We have 1 minute before the great Minko. My question is about Todd Frazier. No one can love his 205 batting average. Anthony, honestly, and I'm not going to draw you into this if you don't want to get drawn into it in 40 seconds, I didn't love the Adam Eaton stuff with Frazier this week. I thought it was just childish and unnecessary for a guy not contributing, really. Then he has the error last night. Where are they headed with Todd Frazier?
Yeah, look, he's bought, or he's had a little time bought for him because Jed Lowry is nowhere close to returning to the field. And as long as that's the case, I think Todd Frazier will have some leash. He has played better offensively in the past, I would say, 10 days. Mm-hmm. And if he can continue that, he could potentially ride out this season. But if he goes back to what he was doing in April, then no. I mean, you're not going to see him because the Mets aren't going to have infinite patience with a guy who will be a free agent after this year. So he's bought a little time with the way that he's played and with the situation that surrounds him, but it's not going to last forever. And he knows that if he doesn't continue to produce.
You're a busy man, Anthony DeComo from MLB.com, and you're also terrific. Thank you very much. Enjoy the game today.
Thanks, Kim. I appreciate it.
He really is terrific. He does an excellent job covering the New York Mets. I can't believe on a Saturday I'm looking at John Minko live and in color. I can't believe you're here.
I work all the time.
I know
Kim,
you do.
Don't you know that?
It's a holiday weekend. You
I'm
know.
Here all the time.
Do you want to do an update?
I'm going to try.
All right. Here's John Minko.